Hey everybody, I'm Bobby Salveson.
And I'm Michael Monaco, and together we are the Hazmat Guys, connecting the Hazmat community near and far with knowledge, insight, and real-world examples in an effort to make your job just a little bit easier and safer.
Now, let's take a minute to hear from today's sponsors. Hey Mike, let me ask you, have you ever heard about the bar method?
Have not, but it sure sounds like fun. What does it mean?
Well, probably not what you think it stands for, but what they mean is blot, apply, and remove. It's the new way to remember the steps to conduct hybrid decon.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, with the threats continuing to evolve, our SOPs do as well. And First Line Technology introduced us to the BAR method. It's backed by science and real-world application. This method of blot, apply, and remove is faster, safer, and more effective method to decon.
Is it going to work for both wet and dry?
Well, yeah, absolutely. The methodology forces you to consider the who, what, when, and where before determining what materials you will be used to carry out the necessary actions. It helps you to tailor your decon to the threats you're facing.
This could be exactly the thing I need to train my team on. How can I get more info?
Well, First Line's EDS kit has everything you need to conduct the hybrid decon for large or small missions. To learn about the kit and how to apply this BAR method, visit www.firstlinetech.com/EDS. You know, Red Wave Technology is a homeland security company focused exclusively on bringing innovative solutions to the problems that first responders face. The introduction of the threat ID allows for identification of solids, liquids, and gases through the interchangeable sampling modules. And this identification of gases includes VOCs, toxic industrial chemicals, and it remains one of the largest gaps in our hazmat toolbox. The threat ID bridges that gap and provides an identification of toxic, dangerous gases with the same ease that FTIR has brought to solids and liquids. For more information, check out redwavetech.com. Let's get to the show.
Hola y bienvenido al Hazmat Guys. Me llamo Miguel.
I don't speak Portuguese, man. Wow. Oh,
I just wonder how many people are like, wait.
What?
We forgot to turn the sap on or off.
Yeah, it's sappy, all right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 300 and something something.
Yes. I seriously, guys, if you understand that, like, we seriously just got out of the car maybe 20 minutes ago from driving home from the Massapequa. I want to say Massapequa. It's not Massapequa. It's Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Conference.
The Plymouth
Rock. And it's for us.
We didn't see the Rock this year.
Oh, I saw it. I took pictures of it for you.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see the Rock.
Yeah, it's all right.
I got screwed out of a night. I need to be yearly disappointed by The Rock.
For the location is okay. It's like 5 hours of a driving for us, and we just got out of that car, so we are recording late at night.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is the Thursday before we record, before we release, which is, we never do that. We are usually pretty good about recording a little earlier, but
usually the beginning of the week.
But
we are coming back from Massachusetts State Convention, which, if any of you know, is one of our like top 15 conferences to go to. So not going to put down any other conference, but we just have a lot of good people, good friends, and it was quick, it was fast. What did you think of it?
Well, what I wanted to really kind of talk about is general observations of the shows that were on the sheet. And I'm not, please, if you were one of the presenters at this conference, this is no reflection on you. It's not that we are doing some crazy good stuff or anything. I think everybody at that talent at that conference was pretty talented. I wish I could have listened to a little bit more of their stuff, but looking at multiple conferences, And I understand we're just getting our legs back under us with COVID and all that stuff, and everybody's coming out of hiding. But I'm still seeing an awful lot of people hiding behind the PowerPoint.
Getting in touch with my inner self. I feel like there's almost no room to get outside the PowerPoint shadow.
Oh, see, I don't think that's true. I think it just takes a bold soul.
Right now.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Like right now, like if you think conference and you think lecture, like the only thing that pops into your head is, oh, man, I got to make a PowerPoint.
I have to make a PowerPoint.
I got to make a PowerPoint for that.
Yep.
And that couldn't be further from the truth. So we're going to chat a little bit today about breaking the, what do we want to call it?
Breaking the paradigm
of conferences. Because man, it's hard to not hide behind it, but there are ways. And we always say as an instructor, right? We're not like at any kind of like mastery level of, you know, in the hazmat world, but we are beyond the point of being the new guys.
Yes.
Right? We're beyond the point, like the people that we're in front of are the next generation.
Yes.
Right? So in a couple of years, they're going to be there. And I really would love to see, you know, the students that we teach, a goal of a good instructor is to give the foundation for the people that they're teaching to become better than me at some point. Right, like that's my goal. When I leave and somebody else takes my place, they should be able to build upon and do better than us.
Yes.
So start thinking now how to not do it the way you sit down and see it done.
I agree. Because I think there's a lot of guys that go, well, I'm only comfortable with X and Y. And I'm not as good as these guys to stand. And I'm not saying us or anybody. It could be your local fire department. I'm not as good enough. What if I make a mistake? Who cares? It's like, seriously, like you don't think I've misspoken? Like, I just did 5 or 6 different shows. I was half wrong on half of it. I'm just entertaining. I don't know what to tell you. But, like, there is no reason why you can't pick a topic. Right, pick a topic and you say, we're going to talk about eating saltines.
Mm.
Right, so, okay, I got to build my PowerPoint. Stop. Let's see you build a PowerPoint. And all the shows I did had a PowerPoint backbone on them. That's cool. But the rule of thumb for building PowerPoints is 2 minutes per slide. That's the general rule that me and Mike use, that we dwell on an average slide 2 minutes per slide. Right, so if you're doing a 90-minute show, you should land around 45 slides. And that includes the introduction and your call to action at the end, where you're saying, hey, this is where you can call me, this is where you can email me, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for the questions, etc.
I just want to go, I don't have any rules for my slides. So that those are the I generally turn around and I'm like, I think this is the stupidest tool ever and I hate it. And I do, like, sometimes I'll do no minutes per slide, and sometimes I'll be like, this topic, all right, this topic's really cool, and that slides up there for like an hour.
Right. That's what I'm telling, that's my point to people, is that there are no norms. The only constraint you have is 90 minutes or whatever the hell your conference says, 70 minutes, 75 minutes. Other than that, I'm going to do I'm actually thinking about a show where I'm just going to put a picture of a stupid cat up there and just talk for 90 minutes.
Oh, my God. And what if you change the slide to a different picture that has nothing to do with what you're talking about every 2 minutes? And then, like, you wait for the slide to change. Like, you click on it and you're like,
oh.
So what do we think we're going to be doing with the lithium ion battery once it starts to heat up? And then just
right. It's almost like, and there's going to be people out there that are going to be like, well, you guys can do that stuff. You guys practice all the time. It's not the point. The point is like that, what we're just talking about with the cat slide up there, and you're talking still about hazmat. People are thinking, well, I have to convey my topic.
But before you say, how am I going to convey your topic, think about how am I going to make this interesting.
Well, all right. So maybe PowerPoint for those that are in like the PowerPoint wheelchair, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes it's a crutch and sometimes it's a wheelchair. So why don't, if you're comfortable with PowerPoint, why don't you use it like a heroin addict uses like Suboxone. All right. You make your PowerPoint and then take every slide and say, how can I present this without the PowerPoint?
Yeah.
Like, just start off that way. And your whole presentation doesn't have to be like that. Right? Your whole, if you've got a 90 minute, if you've got 90 minutes worth of slides, 45 slides, however that math works out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do derivatives in my head right now. Just pick three slides to start off with. Pick three. Figure out a different way to give that information. Just figure out a different way to do it, whether it's a prop, whether it's a graph, whether it's a game, whether it's all right, this is this slide. I'm going to get the audience to argue with each other. That's mm-hmm. like one of my favorite things to do in front of the classroom. I'll take this guy and I'll pit him against this guy and I'll get him to argue with each other and then I'll tell them they're both wrong.
I did get that. I got one guy in the beginning of it. I was like, what do you think about this? And he gave this long answer. And I'm like, that is really good. Totally wrong. But
totally
really
wrong. That is the best wrong answer I've heard in a really long time.
But like, for example, if you, and guys, take a look at this. Go on YouTube and look at TED Talks, right? These are, I'm going to say, upper level guys that are presenting, and the better of them will do a 20-minute, all TED Talks are 20 minutes on some crazy topic, whatever the hell they pick. But they do it. A lot of the good guys, they'll do it with like three photos. And it's like a sunset, you know, somebody brushing their teeth and a cookie. And you're like, that has nothing to do. And it's almost the same thing as like, you know, can you rub your stomach and pat your head at the same time? You're doing two different things. You're talking about hazmat at the same time as having nothing to do with the crutch that everybody's expecting you to do. So they're mentally uncoupled from the topic and therefore you own them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of dance and drama and parlance
to the
whole thing.
You got to act. You got to be an entertainer.
Yes.
You have to be an entertainer, right? If you're not looking at the teaching as, am I entertaining you? Then you're right away, you will not engage them, right? Like, we are generally entertaining through humor.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I try to be funny. Or I'll be entertaining because I'm very animated, right? Like, I never stop moving. Even right now, I've got a pencil in my hand. I'm probably going to jab my eye with it. And I should probably put that down now that I thought that. You have to figure out how you're going to entertain and then how you're going to give that information out in an entertaining way.
Yeah.
There's tons of different ways to do it.
We were right before the show, and we were very reluctant to discuss the show before the show. The discussion should be on the show.
Yes.
Because a lot of times our discussions are very show worthy. And so if we spoil it by saying it before, when you redo it on the show, it sounds canned.
It does. It does. Right? That's why I never get information on a hot wash. Like, we'll get guys, and we'll be up beforehand. They'll start talking. I'm like, shut up. Like, I don't want to hear this. Don't. I'll take the earphones off. I'm like, fine. If you're going to talk, I'm not going to listen.
But, like, on my rather lengthy drive home, I'm thinking of new cool things to do. And I'm absolutely trying to get away from the PowerPoint crutch wheelchair and say, what can I do for 90 minutes that would be worthy of a conference to give me space and worthy of the occupants to give me their time.
If you didn't hear yet, we are transitioning to a new format that is going to give you, the listener, even more content.
Yeah, for example, in our technician and specialist levels, we are adding even more video content, access to our entire show catalog, and even access to a monthly small group Q&A session to answer any questions that come up, as well as so much more.
All of this for less than a cup of coffee that you premium snobs like to drink for the entire month of access.
This is the stuff that you've been asking for. So take a look at what we can do to take you to the next level of Hazmat.
Go to our website, thehazmatguys.com. You can sign up for our premium tiers that will give you even more Hazmat goodness.
You know, when you're out there facing the unknown, you want the MX908 in your toolkit. Now, it's packed with the sensitivity and selectivity of high-pressure mass spectrometry. This is a detection device that fits right in your hands. You can detect and identify chemical targets from street drugs to explosives and ticks to chemical warfare agents, including Novichoks, all with the same tool. The MX908 can detect and identify threats in any state and is now the only field tool available for real-time aerosol analysis. The MX908 gives you the rapid, actionable intelligence you need to make decisions faster and ensure the safety of everybody involved. To get more information about the MX908, including technical papers, video demos, and target lists, go to info.908devices.com/hazmat, and then hazmat is all in one word. With the MX908, you get real-time detection of real-time threats. Check it out at info.908devices.com/hazmat.
I'm going to write down a quick thing, so it's in front of me, and I can't because my kid destroyed my pencil tip, because I have a great one that people should do, but I want to talk about it in the premium content. After
I do have something for premium as well.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I've used it before, and Davis has taken the idea, and he uses it. Jim Davis uses it in his classes.
Interesting.
And it's a really good technique that turns around and allows you to start to lift off of PowerPoint.
Right.
But they're out there. I mean, look, the escape room that we've built, and three iterations of the escape room.
Are you talking about the patented and trademarked and exclusive?
Wow. We actually had people come up to us and be like, can you come do that like with our department? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, well, can you do it with any topic? I'm like, yeah, it doesn't. This is just hitting. I could do a whole thing just on vapor pressure. Like, I could do a whole room just on vapor pressure. But
just to clarify what Mike just said there, because not everybody knows what the hell we're talking about. We have, we're joking about this, but we're absolutely actually serious, is that we came up with an idea to do a hazmat-themed escape room, like the ones you go out and do. And you need to know your stuff in order to complete the task. There's been a couple other guys that tried to do it, but they miserably failed, from what I understand.
They didn't do it.
But the guys in Massachusetts tried it, and look at that.
I'll get the right focus. All right, so if you're come watch the video. If you're not, I'm holding up a picture of what this year's escape room kind of looked like. And just if you could see real quick, there's jars, there's sampling. They did pH sampling. They're holding a Trainer AP4C from Argon Electronics, which, if you don't know, is like my absolute freaking favorite metering simulation company. And maybe they'll send me an AP4C for saying that. But there's just stuff hanging on the walls. Like, we had an awesome time, and the guys were learning, and it wasn't anything complicated. Like, they refreshed on basic hazmat concepts and principles
and techniques,
and they had a great time doing it.
But the point is that we have a 90 minute slot. Actually, it's kind of funny it's 90 degrees, because it was 90 degrees in there at one time.
Yeah, my room was 92.
But that is a class. And you can say, well, what are you learning in there? Oh, I think if you took this this room and you took this challenge, you'd walk out of the being going, holy crap, there is tons to garner from this one. And so if you just look at the problem from another angle,
yes,
as a presenter or a budding presenter, or even one of those guys that were at Massachusetts, you may say, you know what, how can I do my topic that I was doing in a different way that's more engaging?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. This, I don't even think we started to scratch the surface. I want to do something like we do one called Hazmat Mad Libs, which is really weird because you think of, I finished the deck this morning and now I'm going to present the deck. But in this way, and it was like some weird, you had to change something in the software, some button, but it allows you while it's presenting to type words into it and then have the whole thing line up. It's a really cool feature, but again, it's complete integration with the crowd. They're calling out words like Mad Libs, and it's engaging, and they're excited, and they're making funny things up, and they talk about farts and scrotum and whatever the hell else they were saying today. It was just, we had a good time. And so when they're walking out of there smiling and laughing and not going, what's the next class we're taking?
Right.
You've done it.
Yeah. Or where they sit in the thing and they're like, no, I'm just going to stay here for the, you're like, no. Yes.
You can go to another class. No, I'll hang out with you. That was good. That was nice. You know, so like, I'm really into the craft, I guess you could say.
The craft. Yeah, it is. No, it's teaching is, it's a craft. You're honing your craft.
Yeah.
And you're taking it so far beyond the PowerPoint. Just, you know, like I said, just how can I get, what is another way that I can get this information across?
Yes. But I think a lot of the newer guys that are not on the circuit, that are in our classes at this point, or in on anybody's class, that has the intentions of becoming somebody that's going on, we'll call it the circuit, right? We're on the national circuit, going around the country, teaching your wares and stuff. How do you do that? How do you get to that point? And I would say there's two things you need to be at simultaneous time. You need to be technically competent and
not perfect.
No, not perfect. And I mean that you can be, there's not at this conference or anything, but I know guys nationally that I'm like questionable, but you have to be engaging. And I'd say the engagement is more important than being technically competent, because I know guys that are in a department, let's say a year of experience. That's nothing. But the guy is great. He just connects immediately, engages with people. And so therefore, that guy is a better instructor than the guy that has 40 years and he can't tell you anything more than a war story and you get nothing out of his class. His time or his experience does not translate to the learning experience.
Did you ever, I can't remember if you came in when Paul Rogers was still teaching at The Rock. Like,
oh, no, what, thank God I didn't.
He was probably one of the first ones. Him and Timmy Regan were some of the first instructors that really, Paul Rogers had a very interesting technique of teaching the class. And he would just kind of like, you know, people would be meandering in from break, and he would pull on their experiences to start a conversation, right? So you thought that somebody from the class, like a student, had like started the conversation, and he just was talking to them. You didn't even realize the class had begun. And somehow he's like pulling other people into this, what started off as a one-on-one conversation.
Right.
And then like, before you know it, he's like, I don't know. He just, all of a sudden it was part of the class and you're in this classroom discussion, mm-hmm. not even realizing that the class had begun because there was no PowerPoint slide on. And then it's like an hour later and he's like, okay, that's it. And you're like, oh yeah, we just learned a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah, we just took a break.
Wow. Like, I've never been able to like to master that. And I don't exactly know how he flowed that information in, but he would pull it on guys' experiences. Like, did you ever have that happen? Has anyone, like, did you, but not in like a teaching sort of way, like being like really interested in the person's story and then like pulling the information that he wanted to relate to the class through the student.
I'll tell you why that's difficult for a lot of instructors to pull off. Because I think a lot of instructors think I'm in front of the class. They're here to hear my thoughts. And what you're describing there is Mr. Paul Rogers being a good listener, which means I have two ears and one mouth. That means I should listen twice as much as I talk.
Right.
Now, that is a practiced piece. Now, that's an advanced operation because you have to seriously be like, okay, I'm going to give the control of this class over to this guy to say his statement. And I'm hoping he's not that talky-talker guy where he's going to be like, I'm going to derail your class and I'm just going to keep this microphone. You have to be able to give the reins over and at the same time be like, you know what? At any time, I'm going to shut you down and know how to do it.
Yeah, I guess he did. It was very impressive. It was being in his class was very impressive. And like learning how to teach under him was very impressive.
For all the you new guys that are out there, and I'm specifically, I think this show is kind of for those new guys. The guys that are already on a circuit, you got your shtick, and I think you have what you think the circuit is. I know I speak for me and Mike. I'm not satisfied with the way it's done, and I'm constantly looking for new and weird and silly ways to have you walk out of the class and be like, dude, I got a ton out of that and I had a blast.
Right.
That's what I want. I want you going back and telling your friends you need to come into this class. I want to see if I'm doing four classes. At the fourth one, I want standing room only because they told their friends and they brought them. So what I would say is start a notebook, open up a note on your phone, whatever the hell it is, and get in front of every instructor and say and write it down what was good and bad about what he did. Look for the subtle things that he did. Did he watch people's faces? Did he pause? Did he triple speak? Does he use too many crutch words? Did he engage the crowd in a way that is subtle? Go up to the guy and go, how did you start that conversation? And he'll be like, a magician doesn't tell you his tricks. That's BS. A good instructor tells you all of his tricks.
Yeah.
An instructor tells you his tricks. Magicians, maybe not.
Yeah, because I want to sit in a class one day and be like,
I want to be engaged.
Oh, that's cool. They took something that I did 10 years ago and built on it.
And built on it and made it better. I'm really looking forward to like some of the new guys coming out. I want to get in their classrooms and see all the cool things that they... If they took one of our ideas and they ran with it and came out better, I'll be like, man, that was worth all that work in the podcast, all that work in getting out there in a conference. And I'm not looking for homage.
No, just I'm looking to not be bored. And I'm not saying that like the content is bad and the information is bad, but the delivery can be like, it can be better. It can be better. Like, look at what the guys did before PowerPoint.
Yeah. I'm kind of popping up my browser right now because I know we did an episode way back. And the problem is that this is probably going to be in the premium only. It was the toxic instructor. Ah, here it is.
Yeah.
Episode
toxic 61. Instructor.
The Acute Toxic Classroom Syndrome.
That was that was episode 61?
61. That was right
after. I feel like
we
talked about that like a few months ago.
Yeah, that was 2016, I'm going to guess. But we went through some of the most, from the student side of the desk, some of the most offensive things that instructors do and your exit plan on how to get out of that debacle.
Right.
And that was actually the genesis for us to start up our next one, which was our presentation, was how to not suck teaching hazmat. Which, if you haven't seen that one, that, so I've been told, is a pretty good class because it gives you a lot of the tools that you need and the subtle things that you need in order to pull off a really good class. Like the simple and yet often overlooked thing of you always stand to the left of the screen. Like from the student's perspective, stand to the left. The reason why is in America, we read from left to right and the focus is on you as the instructor, not the PowerPoint over your shoulder. Pick who
See, but
you
I don't even follow
focus.
That rule because I am constantly moving around the classroom.
Another engagement technique, you see, now if you're one monotone voice in one point of the room, it just goes away. And there are things where you can vary the intensity, the pitch, the speed, and move yourself around and you re-pop up engagement. And so this is the type of stuff that we're talking about is the tools in the toolbox for the new instructor to utilize so that they can be a better instructor, but don't fall into the PowerPoint rut.
Right.
That's the key. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk on premium.
If you don't know about premium, subscribe to the technician or the premium specialist level, and you'll get to watch all this jazz in video, and you'll be able to see what we're going to do now.
Well, that wraps up another episode of the Hazmat Guys. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel. And don't be afraid to use that like or follow button. Or
you can sign up for even more content from us at thehazmatguys.com. Here, you can subscribe so that we can connect you to even more great stuff. Your support is going to help us improve and build this awesome community even more.
Yeah, and if you want to get to the next level, you won't want to miss our premium content. Our specialist level provides you with access to our entire catalog of shows, which is now over 300, an exclusive Facebook group, premium video with no ads, and so much more. Also, check the Hazmat Guys University link on our website.
And don't forget, we are always interested in hearing about incidences or calls that you have experienced. We may bring you on the show to share that story. Reach us at feedback@thehazmatguys.com.
And remember, folks, don't just get on the job, get into the job.